Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to this iPro-hosted CMS Home Health Quality Initiative, Achieving Excellence Through Transformational Change. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Sarah Butterfield. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Deanna. Good afternoon, everyone. As the project manager for the Home Health Quality Initiative for iPro, I want to thank you for joining Chris Deagle and I this afternoon. We're going to review the CMS ACE Scope of Work Home Health Quality Initiative. Those of you who registered for today's conference call received via email a copy of the slides that we're going to reference during the presentation. And we also sent you a program evaluation form to fill out. If for some reason you did not register or you did not receive these materials, I want to tell you now that you can go to our website at www.ipro.org/HHQI, and again that's www.ipro.org/HHQI. And once you log on to the website, you'll notice under the upcoming events section the Home Health Quality Initiative conference call dates, and that'll bring you to the section that enables you to download the slides and the evaluation form. And as Deanna noted, the conference call today is being taped. And we're going to post that to the home health section of our website to make it available to you for future review. Or if you have additional staff in your agency that weren't able to make today's call, they can go to the website and download the materials and listen to the content. The session today will begin with our presentation of the ACE Scope of Work Initiative. And then following the presentation, we're going to be opening the lines up for your questions and comments and any further discussion you'd like. I'd like to move to the second slide and just review our objectives for the presentation today, the first of which is to provide an overview of the priority areas identified in CMS's ACE Scope of Work for the Home Health Community of Practice. And I want to first define for everybody the term scope of work, and that the scope of work is a result of the Title 11 of the Social Security Act, Part B, and amended by the Peer Review Act of 1982, where each state has a quality improvement organization that is contracted with CMS to monitor beneficiaries' quality of care and to safeguard the integrity of the Medicare Trust Fund. Each contract period for us with CMS runs for a three-year time frame, and for each contract, CMS identifies priority areas of focused work for quality improvement organizations to collaborate on with providers. And for this scope of work, that's physician providers, nursing homes, home health agencies, and hospitals. Each of these three contract periods are referred to as a scope of work, and that's where the term comes from. Currently, we're in the seventh scope of work, which will end July 31st, and the eighth scope of work, which we'll be talking about here today, begins on August 1st, 2005. Our second objective for today is to review the CMS program goals. We're going to provide an understanding of transformational change focus, and then identify the quality measures CMS has selected for focused quality improvement efforts in the ACE scope of work. And we're very pleased today to have Lieutenant David Dietz, our CMS Home Health Government Task Leader, to be able to be on the call today for our presentation. And as our Government Task Leader for Home Health, Lieutenant Dietz provides ongoing expertise and guidance and assistance to all of us as QIOs nationally for this initiative. Lieutenant Dietz, I'm going to turn the call over to you for some opening remarks.
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. First of all, thanks for inviting me to be a part of your call. And I just wanted to tell all of you at the home health agencies who are listening in that all of you are very fortunate to be working with both Sarah and Chris. They're among the best QIOs, New York, that is, in the country. And they're definitely, I hold them as an example to the other QIOs. As for what we're trying to do in the ACE scope of work, which is basically our goals for quality improvement for the next 3 years, reducing hospitalization is the focus of the scope of work, as well as working on other publicly reported measures. We're also trying to integrate telehealth into helping to reduce the acute care hospitalization rate. We do not have an abundance of evidence at this point, but we do have many studies that have shown that it can help reduce, as it can monitor patients' condition throughout an episode of care. Little bit about other things that are going on at CMS. I know how busy all of you are and that in some cases it may be a little bit of a burden to participate in quality improvement activities. However, I assure you that within 12 to 14 months, pay-per-performance models will come about in regards to home health care. And at that time, it'll be critical to really fine-tune quality within each agency, within each of your agencies, especially with the hospitalization rate and the public reported measures. I don't know if all of you are familiar with the OBQM measures, but those may also play a minor role in pay for performance. So I think all of you who choose to participate in New York's endeavors for the next several years will definitely be ahead of the game when pay for performance comes about. I don't have too much else to say. I don't want to steal Sarah and Chris's thunder here. They have an excellent presentation that summarizes very simply our scope of work and our goals. And I know they called me the government task leader, and basically that it is what I do is I coordinate the quality improvement activities within home health here at CMS, as well as helping to develop some of the measures publicly reported and contribute to pay-for-performance development activities. So if you're looking for someone to blame, then I'm your man. But anyhow, I'm going to turn this back over to Sarah and Chris. Once again, they've done an excellent job, not only in the seventh goal, but as a pilot state. They are leaders of the quality improvement community, and I feel very fortunate to be working with both of them. So, Sarah, back to you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Deeds. We feel the same way. I'm going to start on slide number 3. We have a lot of information to review with you. There are a lot of information on the slides, but what we've tried to do is to incorporate most of the concepts onto the slides so that you could have those to present to anybody else within your organization that you'd like to. So on slide 3, we're going to open up looking at transformational change. And the concept of transformational change is really a thread throughout the entire ACE scope of work. So to understand the concept a little better, CMS has asked us as quality improvement organizations to provide assistance to providers and enabling them to develop the capacity for and to achieve the vision of the QIO program, which is really every person receiving the right care every time. Transformational change occurs when improvement in one or more dimensions of quality is dramatic and results in a redesigned care system. And it really strives to achieve the ideal goals that are outlined by Don Berwick at the Institute of Healthcare Improvement, with organizations with no needless deaths, no needless pain, no needless helplessness, delays, or waste. And I think traditionally in quality improvement, we tend to look at performance over time at a project level, really plotting out the small dots of progress over time by project. And as James Reinerson notes in his article entitled The Theory of Leadership for the Transformation of Healthcare Organizations, it's really the big dots that are important. The system-level measures of performance on the major dimensions of quality, looking at mortality, staff turnover, the large system-level measures that really are integral to monitor for improvement towards a theoretical ideal goal or vision of the QIO program, which is, again, every person, the right care, every time. And so the component of transformational change really is integral to our successful achievement of the tasks that we're going to talk about today outlined in the ACE scope of work. So if we look a little closer at what defines transformational change, it's really change that enables a provider to deliver care meeting the 6 aims for care identified by the Institute of Medicine report. Those are outlined for you on slide number 4, and we look at safety being the first, avoiding injuries to patients from the care that is intended to help them. The second being effectiveness, which is looking at providing services based on scientific knowledge to those who can benefit. And then likewise, refraining from providing services to those that are not likely to benefit. Efficiency, which I know we're all familiar with, avoiding waste, equipment, supplies, and even ideas and energy of the staff. Timeliness, reducing waits and timely harmful delays for both those who are receiving care and those of us that are providing care. And then patient-centeredness, respectfulness, responsive care. Is the patient involved in their care plan? Are there patient preferences, needs, and are ensured that the patient values guide our clinical care that's provided? And finally, the equity, providing care that does not vary in quality or discriminate at all. And when you think about this type of system, it would be so much better for both us as clinicians and patients being able to experience the satisfaction of providing reliable, responsive, and coordinated care, sort of the goal of all of us. So CMS further defines achievement of transformational change by incorporation of their four key strategies for focus in the ACE scope of work, and those are outlined for you on slide number 5. We're going to look at each of these individually and in more depth, but first of all, measuring and reporting performance. The second key strategy, adopting health information technology, which was referred to as HIT, and most importantly, using it effectively, redesigning care processes, and transforming organizational culture. As we move to the tasks outlined here, you'll see how each of those maps to those key strategies. So if we first look at the measuring and reporting of performance, again, where the key strategy here and the goal is to identify opportunities for improvement and to track progress in doing so over time. The measures that we'll be looking at are based on clinical outcomes or evidence-based practices, include systems and process implementation, patient experience, staff experience, cost, and again, looking at those big dot measures of progress that we were just speaking of. And finally, to create comparative data for use in quality improvement. Dave just mentioned the pay for performance, public reporting, and accreditation with appropriate provider consent. Under the HIT key strategy, we're going to look at health information technology as a big component in the ACE scope of work for really all communities of practice. We look at HIT for support for performance measurement, point of care decision making, personal health management, provider-patient interaction. And again, adoption of HIT, when you look at the effectiveness, really needs to be accompanied by use of its functionalities to transform performance. For example, there's no improvement in effective quality of care if an HIT system documents that the patient is eligible, say, for influenza immunization or a mammogram, and there's no correlation in care delivery to make sure that the patient actually receives the mammogram or the immunization is administered. So it's really coordinating both. Under redesigning care processes, we're looking at redesign of process that results in a fundamental rather than a simply additive changes to a process, again, mapping back to the big dots, or changes which are not specific to a clinical condition. And examples of this include the patient self-management, human factors design, which Chris and I will be working on providing you more information over within the ACE scope of work, and patient-controlled processes. And then finally, looking at transformation of organizational culture. This is really key to the success of transformational change. Senior leadership in transforming organizational culture really is imperative here. The senior leadership is what orients the organization to quality with goals established to drive resource allocation, performance assessment, and really involving the staff and engaging them in quality. Staff need to be empowered to identify quality issues, be able to identify mistakes as they occur, and provide input and feedback on how they could be prevented and how the process could be improved. And then finally, the management, being able to recruit effectively, promoting effective teamwork through role clarity and communication, making information known during the actions, the results of what's been put in place, and how things are implemented, all integral to transforming organizational culture. Now, the next two slides will provide you with an overview of what CMS has identified as our responsibility, and our responsibility being all quality improvement organizations nationally, and certainly IPRO as the quality improvement for New York in the ACE scope of work. And I'll just touch on each of these areas quickly. Implementing effective quality improvement strategies and evaluating the success of quality improvement activities. Fostering collaboration among providers and payers and others to improve care and increase the value of healthcare expenditures. Really bringing in the community and industry stakeholders into evaluating and improving the quality of care. Analyzing national and state level quality performance data. Communicating with professional and provider communities about performance measure and their use in quality improvement projects. And then finally, designing and collaborating on quality improvement projects that emphasize improving systems of care for that transformational change to occur. Before we actually go into the future for the ACE scope of work, I'd just like to reflect for just a couple minutes on the accomplishments we've been able to achieve in the 7th scope of work, And that's both nationally and here within New York State. Nationally, the Outcomes-Based Quality Improvement Methodology, or OBQI, was launched. And retrospectively, New York was actually one of the original states in the Center of Health Policy and Research Demonstration Project, initiated way back in 1996. And in 2000, we were fortunate enough to be chosen by CMS as one of the six pilot states for the OBQI pilot project. So many of our agencies have been working on OBQI for quite some time. And I know for the pilot project, the lessons learned and the progress that our agencies were able to demonstrate were really instrumental in guiding the national rollout of OBQI in 2002. Statistically significant improvement attainment, at least for at least one outcome measure, in the seventh scope of work, 178 of our New York State Medicare-certified home health agencies selected at least one outcome measure for OBQI focus. And I'm very proud to say, as of the May posting of the February 2005 data to CASPER system, 115 of these agencies have demonstrated statistically significant improvement in one or more of the outcome measures they chose to focus on. And that really, when you look at those numbers, is outstanding and really speaks to your commitment to quality. And finally, as we all remember, the national launch of Home Health Compare occurring back in November 2003. It's sort of our walk down memory lane. The next two slides really provide you with some perspective on the differences in data. Those agencies that chose to focus a plan of action around one of the quality measures you see listed. These are national agency unweighted averages comparing those agencies with plans of action to those that did not have a plan of action focused on that measure. And the comparison time frame we're looking at, you'll see listed, is May 2001, April 2002. As compared to November 2003 and October 2004. And if you choose, we'll choose, say, improvement in pain to focus on, you'll see that agencies with a plan of action addressing improvement in pain really had a relative change in their average of 22.9%, as opposed to those agencies that did not have a plan of action focused around that at 7.7%. You can see the same type of focus in improvement in oral medications. With plans of action, 23.4%, and without plan of action focus, there was only an improvement of 9.4%. And then on the next slide, you'll see improvement in transferring as another example. With plans of actions, a relative change in unweighted average of 22.6% as compared to those with no plans of action at 5.2%. You'll note a significant difference in comparison of these numbers, and that really supports the focus quality improvement efforts to improve your patient outcome measures. So let's move on to the future. Looking at August 1st, 2005, the start of the new eighth scope of work, there are the programs established by CMS for the Home Health Community of Practice. These are the program priorities. And again, we'll review each of one of these in more detail with you. But first, looking at achieved specified target rates for acute care hospitalization, achieving specified target rates for the publicly reported OASIS measures, which we'll take a look at, achieving a specified improvement rate for influenza and pneumococcal immunization assessment, implementing and utilizing telehealth to address acute care hospitalization, and then finally, improving organizational cultures. And in just a few minutes, we'll review each of these areas in more focus. In the current scope of work, all of the quality improvement strategies we've been working on and interventions, we're focused really equally across all of the Medicare-certified home health agencies in New York State. And there's just a slight change to that within the eighth scope of work, as CMS has established what are referred to as identified participant groups, or you'll hear the terminology IPG. And those are groups who will have specific tasks outlined for focus that we as a quality improvement organization will work with more closely one-on-one, providing technical assistance and support for their plan of action development, implementation, ongoing monitor to improve the specific outcome of their choice. On slide 16, I have the specific groups outlined for you. There's a statewide improvement group. And that includes all New York State Medicare-certified home health agencies. The second group is termed the Clinical Performance Identified Participant Group. And CMS has established for large states with greater than 91 agencies that that will be 20% of the agencies in those states. For New York, that equates out to 40 of our agencies. And then the Systems Improvement in Organizational Culture Change Identified Participant Group. That's 8% of all our New York State Medicare certified home health agencies, equating out to about 16 agencies. And this last group, the Systems Improvement Group, may consist of agencies that are involved in the Clinical Performance IPG group. So if we look at the differences between the groups and what each group will be focused to work on and what our efforts will be focused on for each group, the first would be the Statewide Improvement Group. And the first area of priority there is to promote transformational change utilizing OBQI. And as Lieutenant Dietz mentioned, the first focus here is on nationally acute care hospitalization. In addition to that, the Statewide Improvement Group will be working with on, we will identify a statewide measure that will focus for improvement, and that's one additional OASIS Republic reported measure, and we'll work with the agencies to try and improve that measure statewide. The second component is the incorporation of the flu and pneumococcal immunization assessments into comprehensive assessments, offering the vaccines or aligning with vaccine sources, and providing follow-up to make sure that the patient actually does receive the vaccine. Now let's look at each of the priority areas and tasks outlined for the other groups. The Clinical Performance Identified Participant Group. Again, we're looking at promoting transformational change utilizing OBQI. This group will also focus on acute care hospitalization and also focus on one additional OASIS publicly reported measure. And that OASIS publicly reported measure will be of the choosing of that specific agency within that group. They get to choose which measure they want to focus on. And then as with the statewide group, the immunization, influenza, pneumococcal immunization is also a component of this. Now, again, the difference between statewide and IP is really more focused work by our project team with those agencies that would like to work more closely to try and improve these outcomes. The third group is the Systems Improvement and Organizational Culture Change Identified Participant Group. These agencies will may consist of agencies that are in the Clinical and Performance IPG group. The focus here will to promote transformational change utilizing OBQI and implementation or utilization of emerging telehealth technologies, again with the goal to help acute care hospitalization to reduce avoidable hospitalizations. Immunization will still be a focus for this group. And then evaluating and improving organizational culture change. And we'll provide some more information in just a few moments with regards to that. As far as how these groups will be selected, I provided you just a few minutes ago with the certain percentages that will be allowed in each group of agencies. CMS is going to establish a process by which U.S. providers, most likely by website, can notify CMS that you'd like to work more closely with us, with one-on-one technical assistance, again, with the goal to try and improve the outcomes, measures as much as we can. So you'll register, say, on the websites to identify that you'd like to be a potential participant in the IPG group. Then we will form the IPG group based upon the requirements that CMS specifies from agencies who have identified their interest in being in the IPG group. And we'll be providing you with more details when we receive them from CMS as far as how to register, what the process will be. We'll make sure that you have those both via the listserv and by hard copy mailing. So those of you that are interested can certainly sign up. Further breakdown, you'll see on slide 21, there is a breakdown by size requirement of the agencies. We're limited to the number of agencies within each IP group. The clinical performance group, which again will be about 40 agencies for New York, and the Systems Improvement Group, which again will be about 16 agencies, each have a size requirement for QIO selection of the agencies. The home health agency size is based upon your eligible cases for your utilization outcomes on your March 2004, February 2005 OBQI reports. And those are, you know, that last page of your risk-adjusted OBQI report. At the top, it gives you eligible case size. Small home health agencies are defined as agencies with less than 90 episodes annually. And review of the utilization case size for New York, this equates to about 32 agencies. Medium agencies range from 91 to 350 episodes annually. And for us in New York, that's about 42 agencies. In large home health agencies, it's 351 episodes annually greater than. And this is our largest category, which is not a surprise for New York, with 119 agencies. So from each of these individual pools of agency size, there's a contract minimum requirement for each IPG group. So for instance, 10% have to be small agencies, 10% have to be medium-sized agencies, and 15% are the large agency category. There is the ability to select up to 8 additional home health agencies to work within the IPG groups, or 8% additionally for states with more than 100 agencies. We're allowed 8%, and again, that'll equate to about 16 agencies, additional agencies for us. The reason for that is our ability to substitute one or more of this other, you know, separate group if one of the identified participants goes out of business during the scope of work or changes ownership, really provides us the ability to utilize one of the other groups from the additional to be within the IPG group. As far as time frames, the identified participant group, CMS has established the deadline of January 13, 2006, which sounds like a ways off, but it really isn't. On that date, we have to have selected who the agencies in the IPG group will be, what those agencies have selected for quality and measure for plan of action focus, and also have the plans of actions for those agencies submitted for acute care hospitalization and whatever agency selected quality measure they would like to focus on. And if I could ask you on your handouts on slide 23, there's a third bullet point at the end. If you could make note on your handouts, that last bullet point says QIO selected quality measure plan of action. And that actually should come off of there. You can cross that out. That was the case for the last revision, amendment to the A scope of work. With this latest revision, that requirement has been taken out. So really, the IBG group, as we identified, just will be focusing on acute care hospitalization and their agency-selected quality measure for their plan of action development. As far as the statewide quality measure, as you remember, this is QIO-selected. The way that we will be looking at this to select is really to review the statewide data trends for each of the 11 publicly reported measures. We're in the process of doing that now. We're going to ask you for your input as the providers as far as what you see as the priority areas of focus that you would like to focus on as the agency, and I'll explain to you how we're going to be seeking this information from you in just a couple minutes. And we also are seeking the guidance of our Home Health Steering Committee, which are really the industry stakeholders, to provide guidance on what they see as the priority areas of focus. And then the decision will be made from there after consulting with those specific component groups. The quality measures that CMS has identified for priority areas for focused quality improvement work with providers are outlined on the next slide for you. In February, we forwarded information to you via the listserv regarding the upcoming revisions to the quality measures on Home Health Compare that will occur in fall of 2005. And as you look at the list of measures here that are going to be the focus for the A scope of work, you'll note that these measures really map to the revised measures that will be posted to Home Health Compare in the fall of 2005. New to the list, you'll note improvement in status of surgical wounds, improvement in dyspnea, improvement in urinary incontinence, and discharge to community. Emergent care, as you know, it is currently reported on Home Health Compare. It'll continue to be reported on Home Health Compare but it is not going to be used for the ACE scope of work measurement as far as the target outcomes that we're going to focus on and be able to demonstrate improvement. As we've stated before, CMS has established national target rates for each of these measures. These are referred to as the best achievable rates or the best attainable rates. And, for example, the best achievable rate for acute care hospitalization is set at 23%. And the best achievable rate for all of the other quality measures is set at 90%, with the exception of improvement in status of surgical wounds, which is set at 100%. And, again, these are our goals or our benchmarks to attempt to achieve. And then emergent care, again, as I mentioned before, it's not going to be used in the measurement process. As a method to evaluate the success of our work as a quality improvement organization with the home health provider community, all of you, CMS has established goals referred to as target reduction in failure rates for the statewide and IPG groups. And what this refers to is looking at the baseline rate for each of these measures. Baseline for New York is going to be August 2003 to July 2004. And then looking again at our progress during the remeasurement time frame, which will be in November of 2007. And that will be the September 2006, August 2007 data. And looking and determining our progress towards those best achievable rates that I just talked about for each of these quality measures. So it's really the goal and how much progress we can achieve. Looking at the individual components that we're going to be focusing work around, acute care hospitalization is the national focus. If we look at comparison of the data for this quality measure when home health compare was first launched back in November 2003 and where we were at the last update on March 2005, we see that there's really not any change in the New York State average of 31%, nor is there any change in the national average of 28%. So you can see why this was chosen for national focus. The hospitalization rate for home health patients really has been steadily rising nationally over the last 3 years. There's some couple areas of opportunity related to acute care hospitalization, one of which is no surprise to everyone on this call, the transition of care period, either from the hospital to home care and across all other care settings. There are some states that already have optimal rates of hospitalization, but there's still clearly an opportunity for improvement. And also important to identify, it's not just a home health issue, it's a cross-setting issue that incorporates all provider settings, and that's how it will be approached. I also want to recognize for New York, we have the issue of the long-term care and special needs patient population in New York. These patients, multiple comorbidities, it makes a difficult quality measure to try and improve for those patients. But I do want to mention we've had 30 agencies over the last 2 years statistically improve for this measure, five of which were long-term care agencies and two of which were special needs agencies, the rest being the combined patient population and the standalone CHAS. So it definitely is a possibility to improve. As we work towards reducing these avoidable hospitalizations for New York, Chris and I will be working with our long-term care and special needs agencies really with a focus on the issues that are unique to their patient population to try and improve that outcome. I do want to mention the acute care hospitalization pilot project. We're one of 11 quality improvement organizations currently involved in the CMS acute care hospitalization pilot project. We're fortunate to have 13 New York State home health agencies working with us on the pilot. They represent a mix of all types of agencies, both from the upstate and downstate region. And since March, the last week in March, they've been working with a change package of evidence-based strategies, tools, resources, again trying to reduce acute care hospitalization, those avoidable hospitalizations for their agencies. And the lessons learned from this pilot and the change package is going to be shared nationally with all quality improvement organizations and home health agencies. I have to say we're very proud of these pilot agencies as they've been able to accomplish a great deal in a short time frame. They've been working, as I said, since the last week of March. They've developed and implemented a plan of action and are measuring their data, and they're doing outstanding work. Looking at the statewide immunization work, our goal is to incorporate influenza pneumococcal immunizations into the comprehensive patient assessments. And this includes offering the vaccines and partnering with the vaccine source, as well as providing follow-up to make sure the patient receives the vaccines. And there'll be two surveys that we'll be conducting as a baseline and remeasurement to ascertain improvement. We will be providing the toolkit to you all in working with you with providing some strategies, policies, protocols that will address each of those influenza and pneumococcal immunizations. The telehealth specifics, again, this is the Systems Improvement and Organizational Culture Change Group. We're going to be looking at implementation or utilization of telehealth as a tool to help reduce acute care hospitalization. Includes both types of home telehealth, phone monitoring, and also telemonitoring, the use of the equipment and the technology itself. So both are included in this component. There are CMS telehealth clinical guidelines that will be released this summer, and those will contain patient, provider, and technology criteria. And again, that information will be shared with all of you to support this specific QI initiative. And finally, organizational culture change. The Systems and Organizational Culture Group will be working on this. Again, as I mentioned before, it's a priority for the nursing home, hospital, and home health provider settings. There'll be a survey, again, focusing on including, not limited to, staff satisfaction, care practices, home health agencies, systems, and processes. There'll be two measurements, baseline and remeasurement. And then we'll work with the agencies that are involved in this group 2 months after each survey to develop and implement a plan of action to address organizational culture change for their agency. And as we receive more information, materials related to all of these areas, again, we're going to be sharing those with you along with our plan for implementation. So our demonstration of how effective we will be, our measures of effectiveness in achieving the goals CMS set out for us is really being able to demonstrate a performance difference between the identified participant groups and statewide groups looking at the comparison of our baseline data and our remeasurement data, as well as being able to make a direct correlation that the work that the QIO efforts and the work that the agencies have done really have a positive improvement in that specific area of data measurement. As far as efficiency, we all want to work more efficiently, this scope of work. There are shared resources that are being developed by the Home Health Kiosk. The Home Health Kiosk is a lead quality improvement organization that provide support to all the other quality improvement organizations nationally for a specific project area. Our home health kiosk is in the process of developing what are referred to as change packages, some similar to what we've utilized in acute care hospitalization. It really involves evidence-based strategies, protocols, policies, all of which all of you have been asking for many times to support your plan of action development. And those will be shared with you. Another big component is really shared learning, both at a statewide level and a national level. Our acute care hospitalization pilot agencies are going to be sharing with all of you their mentorship, their preceptorship, as far as working on the pilot and their lessons learned. And again, we're looking at efficiency through national improvement. Just a quick update on home health compare, and then we'll open this up for questions for you. You have outlined on slide 32 the updates for Home Health Compare, the next one being tomorrow, time frame of March 2004 to February 2005 data. Also want to remind you that the Home Health Compare conversion calculator is available on MedQuick, and you have the website there. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that, it's an Excel-based tool. You plug in the data for that specific outcome from your agency OBQI report, and it calculates the number that will show up on Home Health Compare for your agency. And certainly, if you need any guidance in use of that, Chris and I would be happy to help you with that. Slide 33 provides you with the revisions to Home Health Compare that will occur in the fall 2005 release. Again, those map to the ACE scope of work quality measures that we just reviewed. Please know that the improvement in status of surgical wounds is going to be added in a future release. And in the fall of 2005, when you see those new quality measures updated to Home Health Compare, you'll see removed from the site improvement in upper body dressing, stabilization in bathing, improvement in toileting, and improvement in confusion frequency. Those four will come off, and the new ones will go up. So our next steps as we move from the 7th to the 8th scope of work. As I mentioned before, we'd like to ascertain your interest in being a member of the identified participant group. We're going to be sending you correspondence in the form of a needs assessment to ascertain your interest in being a member. And really ask for your feedback as far as what you see as the priorities for the quality measures that we reviewed here today. From that, we're going to select a statewide quality measure. In July, we will have the analysis of the acute care hospitalization pilot data. Chris and I will be continuing our work with you in trying to recruit plans of action and provide technical assistance to you. And that still includes reviewing your plans of action, providing an evaluation, and any tools and resources that we can identify that would support your intervention actions and what you're focusing on for your agency. And then, again, ongoing communication and collaboration on OBQI. We're always here. We're always interested in your feedback and how we can offer you support for your QI efforts. Slide 36 provides you with some valuable website resources. MedQuick, many of you were familiar with OBQI.org. That transitioned to MedQuick, and there is a home health section. If you haven't had the opportunity to go to MedQuick, I would encourage you to do so. There's some very valuable information there. If you're interested in reviewing the full CMS A Scope of Work document, I provided you with the website link there. Certainly our website is listed, as well as the Joint Effort New York website, which many of you are participating on. And then finally, the Home Health Compare website, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with. And on the last slide, you have the contact information for both Chris and I. We're both based here in the Albany office. We'd be happy to talk with you and provide you with any assistance that we can offer. And with that, I'd like to open up the lines, Deanna, if you could open up for questions or comments or feedback.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please be sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 for questions. We'll pause just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal by pressing star 1. And we'll go now to Deborah Hillard of Fishkill Home Care.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question. You had this, I didn't quite understand what you were saying, that you were going to be working with the long-term care programs. Is that correct? In this whole process and how they fit into this eighth scope of practice. As you know, our data is a little bit different.
Right.
Because of the nature of our program.
Yes.
We're a program that does bill Medicare, and we have a very small percentage of Medicare clients on the program.
Mm-hmm.
However, we obviously have to do OBQI, and we get our outcomes data, and I know I've submitted our stuff to iPro a number of times. It's just that I'm a little concerned about how you're going to deal with the long-term care programs in all of this because of our higher rates of acute care hospitalization.
That's an excellent point, Deborah. And as Chris and I strategized about this, the long-term care and the special needs agencies really have different, unique issues that involve the patients and the types of patients they serve. So when we look at the acute care hospitalization being a statewide effort, really our focus work with you will be a little bit different than what we do on a statewide level because most, you know, there's issues with case management, the types of clients that you serve. So we'll be forming focus groups and work groups with you all to try and really work with the issues that you're having to see if there's anything that can be strategized or improved or the process put into place to reduce that. We know that it's not the goal for acute care hospitalization to prevent hospitalizations. We're only really trying to look at if they're avoidable. Is there something that could have been done or recognized that could have maintained the patient at home to prevent that type of hospitalization? But certainly we recognize that it will be more difficult for all of you to do that than perhaps a different type of agency.
Are you going to give us information on when you're going to put those focus groups together?
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
Okay, that's nice to hear.
We would definitely let you know that, and again, we'll provide it through you through the listserv and also in hard copy.
I mean, we really do try to, I think all of the long-term care programs really do try to keep their hospitalization rates down, but the nature of our patients and the nature of the diagnoses sometimes don't lend itself to a positive outcome there, as much as we would really like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that we'll be able to work with you on this.
We're looking forward to it, too.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Again, that's star one if you'd like to ask a question. We'll go now to Sigrid Connors of Tompkins County Health Department.
Hello?
Hello?
We can hear you.
Go ahead with your question, please, Tompkins.
Hello?
Tompkins Health Department, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question.
You can hear me now.
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
We can hear you.
You might try picking up the handset, please.
Hello?
Again, that's star one if anyone else would like to ask a question. We'll pause just a moment to give everyone a final chance to signal by pressing star one.
While we're waiting for the next question, Deanna, I just want to mention we sent out to via the listserv to all the liaisons within your agency on Thursday a request for a record review. And again, this is voluntary. It's a very short time frame, but CMS is seeking information on what really is driving acute care hospitalization. And they had asked us if we could ask our agencies, if possible. Again, it's voluntary. There's no identifiers to the agency or the patient. But to do one record review to identify and answer the questions on the record review of what caused the acute care hospitalization for the patient, and it asked some specifics to see if it was an avoidable hospitalization. And I know many of you have received these, and I thank those of you that have sent them back. But if you do have time within up until Friday to do one of those and send it back to us, we'd greatly appreciate it. We're aggregating the data and providing it to CMS, and I think it would be very, very valuable.
Again, that's star one for questions. We do have another question from Beth Gilmore of Sullivan County Public Health.
Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to find out, how do we get on the listserv?
Each of the agencies, each of you have identified for us a liaison within your agency, and that is the person that receives our correspondence emails. I can touch base with you after the call and let you know who that is for your agency.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, I'll give you a call.
Wait, Shelley.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. Ms. Butterfield, I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Deanna. I want to thank very much Lieutenant Dietz for being with us today. We're very happy that he had time to be with us on the call, and I greatly appreciate his participation. I want to remind everyone that along with the slides that we provided, there was an evaluation form. And we would definitely like your feedback on today's presentation. It will provide us guidance. We have another one of these on June 8th. But we're very interested in your comments about what you thought about the presentation, about the information provided, as well as any questions you may have that we can help clarify with you. If you know, you're not sure how this maps to your agency or just some specific questions, we'll be more than happy to give you a call and discuss those with you. We're going to be posting the audio of today's presentation to our website, and please feel free, you know, to contact us with any questions. We greatly appreciate your participation on today's call because I know all of you are very, very busy, and along with that, we appreciate your cooperation and collaboration with us over the present scope of work. It's been wonderful working with all of you. Chris and I are very excited to be working with you over the next three-year time period, and I think we'll do just as well then as we did for this scope of work. And I thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for your participation. That does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.